Otro episodio más de podcast más utópico.
Alucinante. Y sobre todo de mente. De todo el fucking universo.
Everything ready?
You're on, team.
Today I can announce the launch of Werewolves Awaken Online.
After 4 weeks, we're just gonna launch the game with this?
Yeah, and on time too. Last night of the Hunter's Moon.
Something terrible has happened. We don't know exactly what it is, but
we gotta get back now.
You have truly marked yourself for the beast.
Yeah, it's time for another one, please.
You can't mean to have us go out there with a killer on the loose.
Or leave us in here with one.
Guys.
No!
I don't know who it is, but it's gotta be someone connected to the game.
I'm pretty sure it's a werewolf.
This is absurd.
Did you see those bodies? They were shredded.
Inhuman.
This is crazy.
You can do this.
What up, gente, y bienvenidos a Demente en Mente con tu host semi favorito CJ, este servidor. Bienvenidos al podcast más utópico, alucinante y sobre todo demente de todo el fucking universo. Cáptalo. ¿Vieron eso que salió ahorita? Vamos a hablar de eso ya mismito. Pero antes quiero dejarles saber que este podcast es traído a ustedes por Marea en Río Piedras. ¿Saben lo que hay allí? Allí está la crema de la crema. Allí pueden conseguir de todo. Y entre esas cositas que pueden conseguir está este kit aquí de Zippo, que puedes conseguir tus cositas. Mira, el lighter fuel. Aquí está. Tienen este lighter que está épico, que de hecho es mío. Tienen esta aquí. Ellos también trabajan para los Zippo el insert, que es eléctrico, para que puedas hacer tu lighter Zippo eléctrico. Y así, pues mira, te evitas tener que comprar esto por bajos y módicos precios. También puedes conseguir este tipo de cartel. Bueno, eso es una baqueta para tu Zippo. Y sabes el piquete. O sea, tú sabes lo serio y lo épico que tú te ves como que, ah, necesito lighter. Ah, claro que sí, pap. Y lo sacas de la baqueta. O sea, honestamente, no se puede decir más. Esta gente hace delivery, ya se lo he dicho. Si no puedes pasar por la tienda por esta situación del COVID o lo que sea, pues mira, tírales al DM o en las redes sociales o en su página web. Simplemente contáctalos y déjales saber lo que quieres. Les voy a decir algo. Hoy tenemos un invitado bastante... interesting. Today we're going to try something different, all right? Today we have Steven Morana. He's an actor, he's a director, and he's also a producer. We talked about his recent movie, Beast Within, and yeah, we talked about all of that, and we had some fun, you know, just talking about life and his profession and his art and everything. He's a great guy, and... you should listen to this conversation, all right? So, enjoy. Steven Morana, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, man. Happy to be here. This is cool.
Thank you. I'm happy you're here. Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, pleasure, man. Pleasure.
Where are you right now?
I'm in LA, actually. I am Canadian, but I spend a lot of my time in Los Angeles. We go back and forth.
Okay.
So just enjoying some of the sunshine. I went surfing today.
That's nice.
To the water. Yeah, just trying to chill out, you know?
That's cool. Hey, how's COVID treating you?
You know, I just feel fortunate that, you know, I'm staying safe and just trying to be cautious. It is what it is, you know, we're all right. In the same boat, right? So, you know, just a lot of Zoom meetings, a lot of phone calls, just a lot of the distancing right now, you know, until we can get a little bit closer to normal. And you know, from the actor's point of view, yeah, basically all auditions, everything is through online and virtual.
Really?
Video meetings, yeah, for the most part. Yeah, you're not doing a lot of visits in person right now.
Is it more comfortable to be, you know, like just behind the camera and just knowing someone is watching you, but not having like those penetrating eyes, you know, from the, you know, watching you from the table or something?
At this point, I mean, I think the biggest convenience right now is that you can, if you get a call or email from your agent to put something together, you have that, I guess, that versatility to choose when you want to shoot it, and you have a little bit, it's a little easier on your schedule. But other than that, you know, I mean, we're used to trying to be in front of people all the time. So I don't think that bothers me too much. It's more so, I guess, the convenience of the time, right? You can just kind of shoot it whenever you're available and then you submit it. And I think that's kind of how the industry is going to go for a while,
all right.
You know, just to stay safe.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of, I think there's a lot of movies and just TV series or just, you know, streaming companies that have stopped, you know, working on their projects because of this COVID situation. But and some actors have been either had the COVID thing or just like family members, and it's pretty tough. Must be tough, you know. I have those.
Yeah, I know. Well, there is some filming going on. I know from some of my colleagues telling me stuff in Canada in certain areas, but
oh, really?
There's just, you got to be very cautious, and you know, they're taking a lot of precautions, and it's just a wild card, because you know, you hear these spikes that happen, and yeah, you have to shut things down if someone gets it. So there's a lot of uncertainty.
Right.
So,
yep.
So yeah, I guess at this point we're just all trying to do the best we can, make the most of the time, and just stay as safe as possible.
Hey, if you can go to the beach and just surf, that's great. So have some vitamin D on your skin.
Yeah, well, I recommend to everyone you got to do something to get that stress relief and just kind of clear your head. If you're watching the news 24/7 or focusing, obsessing on all the negative, that can be more damaging. So you got to just take it as it comes, be thankful for the benefits that we have, you know, and just count your blessings at this point, day at a time.
That's right. That's right. That's a great advice to everyone that's watching or just listening to this. So you have a movie that just came out like the other day, right?
Recently, it came out in September in the US and Canada.
Okay.
On demand and on digital. And right. then we recently just signed with Jenga Films, who's selling it internationally. They're actually at the American Film Market right now, virtually, of course, because everything is being done this way right now when it comes to festivals and markets. And yeah, they're in the works of getting it out there even to a broader audience internationally.
And it's really cool. It's called Beast Within, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, because it had a different name before, right? It changed names, or because it was called something like Hunter
Hunter Moon or something?
It was called Hunter's Moon during the our festival run.
Okay.
For an extension of that, and then it got changed around our release time. We made different edits. We went in a different direction.
Okay.
And we just thought it was a better fit for the concept and everything that was going on with the film. So yeah, we just were happy with where it landed, and here we are.
Yeah, it looks great. I watched it, and it's a great movie, man. Congrats. Really liked it. I mean, it's funny because, you know, there's not that many movies, like monster movies, coming out. They haven't been coming out recently, you know. For example, the werewolf thing, you know, I've always been a fan of werewolf movies, you know, and just that's that kind of story. It's pretty cool to me, but it's actually a great movie, man. So congrats. I really liked it, man.
Thank you.
So you act in it, and you're the director, right?
I'm one of the co-directors.
Okay.
I was one of the producers on it. Yeah. On top of acting. So wore many hats on this one.
You're all over the place in that movie then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's indie film for you. Sometimes you gotta wear different hats and take on different positions and do whatever it takes to get made, you know?
Right. Do you prefer like working on like indie movies? Do you like that kind of movies better, or just like the regular Hollywood? Because for example, I'm a guy that I really like indie movies. You know, like I like movies that pretty much go, you know, all the way to theaters and mainstream and all that. You know, I like to. Because I think when you work on an indie film, like people like work more on the craft. Like it's more about, you know, it's like more passion. It's just like, I don't know. It's just the way I feel, you know. Maybe I'm an artist, so maybe it's just the way I watch movies, you know, and it's my way of thinking. But I really liked it, man. So
I appreciate it. You know, for me, if the story is good, if it's appealing, then I'm interested, you know, no matter what the budget, whether it's a micro budget indie film or a big studio film, I think the story and the production that goes into it, how it all comes together is, you know, what is appealing.
Perfect. Beautiful. Hey, so you were actually last year, you were here in Puerto Rico, right? For the Lush
Guy. Yeah, I was there for 9 days, and I hope to come visit again soon. I had a blast because I was obviously there for Lushka Film Festival, and our film won the Special Recognition Award, which is one of the highest honors. We were very fortunate to win that. And so, that really started our journey, because you know that kickstarted our premiere there, and then we went to a bunch of other festivals and did a whole circuit after that. So I got to really connect with some great filmmakers and people that were just fans of fantastic film, and we really got to, you know, I went and did a lot of media as well, and just got to check out a lot of the sites in Puerto Rico. So, I mean, when things get a little bit more settled, I'd love to come back and visit for sure.
It's funny because you came last year, and last year, at least in the summer, you know, it was crazy down here because we were having some issues with the government and all that, and a lot of people were, you know, protesting and all that. But it's great, you know. It's beautiful when someone comes to the island, and you know, people from anywhere in the world just visit the island and say those kind of things about the island. You know, makes you feel proud of being Puerto Rican. So thank you for that. All right, and then
my pleasure.
You know, I wanted to ask you because we were talking about the Lushka festival and all that, and I think not long ago the creator of the Lushka actually, you know, passed away.
Recently, yeah, Rafael. Passed away.
Rafael Mediavilla.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because it's one of the best things we had, you know, last year happening here in the island. And, you know, it's been something really interesting for years and years. And, you know, I was really sad when I got the news.
I actually became very close with Rafael. We became good friends after the festival.
Really?
Yeah, he just had that charismatic personality. He was,
yes,
and he just was very passionate, and he really cared for everybody that, you know, he influenced and came into his circle. And I saw firsthand what he was doing for Puerto Rico and for film in general. He was very well respected across the world. And, you know, I don't know if everybody is aware, but beyond just being the creator of Lushka, he was a professor, he was a filmmaker himself. Yes, he did a lot of outreach for the community. He would talk to me. We would talk a few times a month, all up until his passing, because we just bonded during Lushka, and it was more than just us being filmmakers and coming to visit. He wanted us to enjoy the sights of Puerto Rico. He wanted to hang out. We really became close, like good friends. And so he was always trying to guide me on how to best promote the film and what to do next, and, you know, other projects to work on. And we just talked about stories and our own life experiences. He was like a role model, a friend. He was so much more than just someone that created Lushka. You know, and it was heartbreaking for me when I got that news. I know that his legacy is going to live on with Lushka. It's actually, I think the second half of it is still happening right now. Yeah. And I know Zoilo, his partner, has passed on that torch to continue leading it into many more years to come. And so, yeah, I know that that's going to be something that's going to last on for years to come. But it was heartbreaking. He just, this is something just to show his character. He was in a hospital. He was sick days before last year's Lushka was happening. I was doing phone calls with him, and he was never sad or depressed about his situation. He was always beaming, saying, "Steven, yes, I'm so excited for your film to come out. And this is what we're going to get set up. I wanted you to go here, and I can't wait you to come see Puerto Rico." And he was just so proud and so passionate about us coming together. And, you know, he didn't even want to talk about it. I said, "Are you okay? Like, I don't want to bug you if you're in the hospital." He's like, "No, Steven, don't worry. I'm going to be out of here." And, you know, sure enough, like a couple days later, he was there saying hi to everybody, being so involved on the opening night and every day afterwards.
Yeah,
just in the thick of things. And he always had this big smile on his face and cared so much about myself and everyone else included at the festival. And like I said, it carried on. Like, he was trying to promote us elsewhere. He wanted to give me advice. He really was this role model, this loving human being that did so much. And I know when Puerto Rico had the earthquakes back last year, he was going to help people get supplies, trying to always be involved in giving back and seeing where he can help. And he said the same thing about when the hurricanes hit a few years back. He was talking about how, you know, how they still had Lushka happen even in the wake of all that to bring up the people's spirits. And he focused his energy on that, on how he understands, like, life is not always fair, and there's a lot of sad things that people have to endure. And I know Puerto Rico has gone through quite a bit in the last few years, whether it's politics or
natural
disasters, and just what we're all dealing with right now globally when it comes to COVID and politics and racial injustice and social injustice. And I just loved it's someone like him that I reflect on, you know, even right now. And just, I'm just so fortunate that I got to meet him and I was able to be influenced by him and, you know, just take on that mentality in my own career and my own personal life moving forward.
Right.
Have that resilience to be grateful to see the brighter side no matter what happens. I'm happy that you brought that up. I wasn't sure if you, I mean, I feel everybody in the film industry, especially in Puerto Rico and in Latin America, know about him. You know, he wasn't the most, he wasn't always like in the front of the camera or always out there, but behind the scenes, he was working on a lot of things, always trying to help build the film community, you know, wherever he could. So, I just want to say, I'm glad that we talked about it, and you know, may he rest in peace. He's a good friend. He's always close to my heart.
Sure. May he rest in peace, man. Hey, and thank you for all that. By the way, I just wanted to thank you for all those words. That's pretty. I mean, I feel great about that. So, about the movie industry in Puerto Rico. I don't know what's going on. What's gonna happen now? Because I think since the COVID virus thing just happened, you know, I know it's been hard for Hollywood and just movie industry in general. But over here in Puerto Rico, we already had like issues. You know, it's always been really hard to, you know, make a movie here in San Juan, well, Puerto Rico in general. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what's gonna happen now. And I'm actually sad about that, because, you know, I'm scared that it's just gonna go away, like, not gonna happen, and that's it. So.
Well, you know, after the time that I spent, you know, Rafael put me in touch with the film commissioner, one of the film people that run the film commission in Puerto Rico, also some of the producers, the key producers that do a lot of films in Puerto Rico. I mean, I know that there's struggles, but I feel like we're all in it together in a sense too. Like it's across the board. I think for young filmmakers, what I would say to not lose hope, to stay positive, and whatever angle you, whatever part of the craft you want to work on, whether you're a writer, a director, actor, utilize what we have in front of us. So as I was saying earlier, Zoom is a big part of things right now. So you could be anywhere in the world. You could do Zoom workshops, you could do Zoom meetings, you could do auditions,
right?
And reach people.
You could do, right? Zoom podcast.
You can do a podcast.
Yeah.
You can do, you know, so there's a lot there for young artists, filmmakers, to get your creativity out there and still communicate and have a collective with others. As far as like the physical shooting and filming right now, we're going day by day, because it doesn't matter where you are in the world, there's these huge spikes happening and we don't know when things are going to get shut down or if you take a break. And I just feel, as much as it hurts me, because you know the film industry is my life, I know that, you know, your health and the people that you love, your family members, your friends, your community, right. Their safety comes first over everything else. And, you know, it gets us back down to the basics. So I feel that it doesn't mean that it has to go away. There's other ways maybe you can be creative in this downtime where maybe you can't physically be on a set, but you can do other things to keep those juices flowing, right?
Right.
And that's why I said, like, use the technology, use Zoom, use what's out there to best feed that creativity and feed that, you know, just to keep your sanity, to have it as a therapeutic measure to express yourself.
Just like an escape from reality. I mean, I use it that way, you know, my creativity, I just use it, you know, as an escape from reality. And just sometimes you come up with good stuff that you can actually use on your reality. You know, let's say I use painting art as my escape from reality, but then I can use that art and just sell it, and that becomes my reality. So, you know, I just look into things that way, you know. How you can just get the best out of it, you know.
Yeah, and that's the mentality we all have to have right now, is to use what we do have. And like I said, in the digital age, it makes it much easier to at least still interact with one another and share each other's art, whatever that art form is.
Right.
You know, I think we all can express something. You know, if you're an actor, you're going to be doing a Zoom audition I've seen Zoom plays and Zoom productions that they've been doing.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Some of my fellow director friends, they've been putting on full plays on Zoom. And it doesn't mean that your writing or your rehearsals can stop. You can continue to make content. You can continue to do things in this downtime if you can't physically be on a set necessarily. Right. And so there's a lot of play there. And then it's also a time where maybe you were on the go and you can take that beat with yourself to create that next big project that you've been putting off, right? In your example, when you're saying, you know, you're working on a painting, or if you're, like I said, if you're working on a script, or if you wanted to study as an actor a certain type of tools that you wanted to work out in scene work and so on. Like there's possibilities out there using this time where you're in more isolation, you're distancing yourself, to really develop yourself as well. And in the industry, they're still making things, they're still setting up deals, they're still setting up development. It's just a matter of when it's going to be safe to shoot, or where you shoot, seeing where is safe to shoot at this point, you know. So there's a lot of ways that it can expand, and we're all in it together. That's what I can say, is like, you're not alone, you know. We can all support one another, and you can reach out and talk about the stresses that you're going with, and like you say, use it, apply it to your creative process as well, you know, because we're all experiencing in some level or another.
I wanted to ask you, actually, how do you work on your creative process, either for acting or for producing, like directing?
Well, you know, for acting, it's always I like to evolve and continue to develop. So I have a few tools that I like to work with, whether, you know, if I'm looking at a script and I'm analyzing and seeing, you know, picturing I start feeling the pictures in my head first of where I could see it going. And then you start building, you have like your tools that you like to work with, right? Whether it's a relatable experience, or whether it's a feeling you get, or however you get there. I have, you know, it could usually be a combination of things that I like in my process of script study. And when it comes to looking at scripts for the first time, you know, you definitely have to read it a bunch of times and make notes and see the directions it could go, especially when you're on the producing or directing side, where you're trying to picture the scenes before they're going to happen.
Okay.
So, I feel like that's the key thing is, I know everybody works differently. They usually have a method or one style.
Right.
I like to, at least from the acting side of things, I'm familiar with all the big method types of acting, and, you know, I've studied all of them in a time, but I feel like it's the story and the character that strikes me first. And then I start to kind of flow which direction, what tools am I going to use more.
Okay.
Whether it's going to be more experience, lean on experience, or something that I actually start to practice and do a method in, or
okay,
it's going to be more imagination that I'm using in the situation, or maybe there's certain lines or certain feelings I'm going to use more with my sensory, you know, my senses, or even using music or meditation to try and see where I can pull certain emotions. So it's a combination of things that, you know, everyone has their own way, but I can say that I constantly like look for ways that will help me trigger to get into that character. And okay. I'm still learning ways to do that. So it's a very personal contemplative experience, I feel. And you know, whatever works, I guess, at the end of the day, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's, I think that's a good way to put it. You know, I think that's like having an open mind to whatever you're going to be working on, right? Like you don't just do any specific process to make your art happen. You know, you just like, yeah. It all depends on what's the character points of view or whatever you're going to be doing. It all depends. That's what you adjust your process to. So that's actually pretty interesting, man. So do you have any, are you currently working on any projects other than the, the start of the year, have you been working on any projects, you know, other than the movie, than the
Beast
Within, or
yeah, other than kind of the press release, right, and big announcements and I guess just stuff like that for this film. I've put my own stuff into practice in the sense of all my auditions are Zoom auditions right now, and Zoom meetings for stuff coming up next year. As far as this project goes, okay, we are working on developing part two. So we're in the writing
okay
phase right now. So that's what this just kind of bridges off what I was talking about earlier.
Right.
I'm doing the same thing where, you know, there's some places that might be filming and probably won't happen till next year. But in the meantime, you know, whether it's auditioning or meetings for stuff coming up next year, or seeing when we can fit it in, I'm developing other projects at the script level, and it's a good time to do development when you can't go right to camera so easily right now.
Okay.
So that's personally what I'm doing, other than, you know, taking a breather and going surfing or meditating or whatever else I do.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
A happy work-life balance is key in these times, especially.
Okay, yeah. Definitely, completely agree. So you started your career, I just searched your name to see how many, I wanted to know more about your work and all that. And then is it 2011 that you like, I mean, well, it, that, uh-huh,
that would have been one of my major TV roles that I got.
Okay.
So professionally, you could say on TV film, but I've been doing this since I was 7. Yeah.
Really?
My whole life, yeah. This has been
It's all you know.
Well, I know other things too, but yeah, I mean, the thing that I've always just been in love with was,
right,
was acting, is whether it's on stage or in front of a camera. So I started doing plays in school. I remember my first one was The Christmas Carol. I was playing.
Nice. Classic.
Scrooge. Yeah.
And you were playing Scrooge?
Yeah. Well, nice. You know, it's a public school play. So
yeah.
They aged me up. They put like a few lines, like low budget makeup. But yeah, I mean, that was my first like experience in front of a massive audience, right? Everybody came at night to watch me. And I guess my teacher at the time just kind of saw something in me. I had this spunky personality. I was always performing and cracking jokes and looking for attention when I was little. And so they just said, okay, put that energy into this. And I think that really shifted my whole focus, where, you know, it just started to grow. I was kept on getting leads and plays through school. And then I went to a performing arts school in high school, where, you know, we got like a diploma specifically just for the performing arts. And
okay,
we would even do public plays that, you know, people in the community and the towns would come and pay to watch. And that was like, I guess, my first professional experience where I was actually, we didn't get paid because it was all through the school program, but
right.
putting on a professional show where people were paying to watch you. And so, yeah, I guess for the first part of my career, my experience, it was all live performances and stage. And, okay. But I always wanted to make the transition into film and television. And I always loved, you know, all the magic that goes into that, you know? So yeah, when I, you know, early on, as I was going up, as I graduated from high school, I started, you know, auditioning and putting myself out there for film and television, and yeah, stuff started to happen there, and here we are. So it was, okay. It's been quite a journey.
Well, I mean, how many years you would say now?
You know, we're getting up there. It's been, I guess, a few decades almost. So, yeah, we're doing it.
So, is it true that if you do things more than 10 years, you kind of become an expert on that area or the area that you're working on? What do you think about that premise?
I definitely am smarter than I was, and more aware than I was even 10 years ago. And definitely there's a correlation to the amount of hours you put into something and study something. You know, that hard work pays off. You get what you put in.
Okay.
But I also feel, at least personally myself, again, sure. with my process, I like to stay open-minded and feel like there's still places I can go. And I feel like as an artist, it's very important to continue to challenge yourself and to push yourself and to not think you're ever an expert, you know?
Okay. Yeah. That's a great
because if you don't want to limit where your creativity can go. Cause I really do believe it's limitless. You know, there's so many great for an actor. There's so many great roles, so many great stories. You know, I just think like, you want to constantly challenge yourself, push yourself and see where else you can go as you build that experience.
Right.
So I guess that's the way I've always looked at it is, you know, what's next? Like, where can we take this? What haven't I done that I've always wanted to do, or what stories do I want to tell where I'm? And you also change as a person, right? You go through right. life experiences and you do have new stories to tell, you know? And so
definitely, yeah.
I think that's the beautiful part of it is evolving and pushing yourself where you're going to take it.
So, yeah. So if you could talk to your, you know, to a younger self, to your younger self, what kind of advice would you tell him, you know, with your mentality today, what kind of advice would you tell him?
I would say value the people around you that support and you work well with, especially in film, because it is a team effort.
Okay.
You can't do this alone. And I would say you gotta don't burn yourself out. Definitely take those timeouts. Take some time for yourself. Have that work-life balance that I was speaking about earlier, where
right.
whatever it is, go to the gym, go to the beach, go for a run, do some meditation, clear your head, move away from it a bit, and then it always you will come back refreshed and more new inspiration, new innovation comes from that. You know, I do believe like there's a limit, like you can oversaturate or if you work yourself, you know, into the ground. I'm all for hardworking mentality, and I think
definitely, yeah,
is a big part of it. But you definitely need to know that balance. So, I learned that through experience over the years, how to find that equilibrium. It was very important.
Yeah, and it's it's completely fair that you say that, because if you get burnt up, you know, way too early on your career, you know, then what? I think that's part of, you know, making those limits real. What you just said, that, you know, I mean, creativity is just limitless. So if you burned out yourself so fast in so early in your career, then what do you got left? You know, what's going to happen then? I don't know. You know, it makes complete sense. So, hey, I'm going to take that advice myself too. All right. I'm actually going to take that advice too. So,
well, I'm glad it could resonate. You know, this is a great interview so far. I'm really appreciating these. We're talking about deeper ideals. This goes beyond just film. This is you as a person.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's actually what I'm trying to do, especially here, locally. By the way, Stephen, the light is making.
Oh yeah,
it's making really dark the room. There you go.
Oh, yeah, wait. Is that better? It's just the way. There you go. Lights.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna move my chair over.
I mean, it looked great, and you were just saying that advice, and the light coming in. I mean, looked epic. But hey, so yeah, I just wanted to tell you, because that's what I'm actually trying to do locally. Because over here, you know, at least here in Puerto Rico, and I'll say almost a lot of podcasts in Latin America, when we talk about podcasts, they always think it's an interview, just like a your traditional interview, you know, like the TV interview or a radio station interview.
Yeah,
but it's not. You know, you just you. I mean, it's like, at least I want to get to know, like, the human being. You know, I just want to know that person, because I know, I mean, and it's I respect the talent. I am a fan. You know, I just talk to people, and it's an honor to have you here. But I want to know you as a human being too, and it's been great. I'm having fun. I'm actually having fun. And it's great to have you here, by the way.
Me too, man. It's such an honor, and I really respect what you're doing. I think this is a very special way to approach it, and it's really good for this space too, for filmmakers and for artists, yes, alike, to kind of get delve deeper and talk about, you know, personal struggles and triumphs, and, you know, just how we can all get better. We have to have these conversations so that we all can grow and support one another. So I really appreciate that.
Yes, conversation, that's the key. I mean, because they always, you know, nowadays everyone wants to text, email. I don't know. Now we have this Zoom thing and all that. But how about a conversation? Let's just sit and talk, you know. Let's just sit and talk, and let's just, you know, exchange some ideas. Let's just talk about the art, the craft, whatever, you know. And that's what I like. That's, you know, and I love meeting people. You know, it's great. As I said, this is the first time we actually do a podcast in English. So I'm sorry if my English is a little bit, you know.
No, your English is exceptional. I'm just honored that you're doing this, and we can do this in English. And I mean, if I had to do this in Spanish with you, it would be very broken. I would not be able to do it like you're doing so eloquently in English. So I appreciate you, you know, opening it up and giving another angle to others can kind of enjoy other mediums outside of maybe things that are just spoken in Spanish, you know. So this
sure
is cool. I love the opportunity, and again, I feel so honored, and I feel like a new connection, a deeper connection with Puerto Rico because of the time I spent and how Rafael was able to impact, yes, me. So I actually stayed in touch with a bunch of people that I met at the festival, some people that work in the media or filmmakers, and they're all been so supportive and been rooting on our project from day one.
Yes.
And yeah, we've all become friends and like a big happy family. So I really appreciate the passion, and I really, you know, I think this is a great podcast, a great way to get out to the people and inspire and motivate people that are all having the same questions and challenges themselves.
You know what? I was actually gonna tell you the movie, your movie,
mm-hmm.
The Beast Within. I took a little bit of the idea of the werewolf thing when I watched it, and then when I first saw the trailer,
yeah,
and those the shots, the like really quick shots of the face or the eyes or the werewolf thing happening. I think it was the 31st of October for Halloween. I think that's the only podcast that we've done that has like a small sketch between the intro and the conversation. And I used a werewolf mask. I just wanted to put that out.
Oh, good.
No, I tried my best. Yeah, I got some inspiration from that. So I was like, you know what? We should try this. So yeah.
Well, that was a special Halloween because that was on a full moon, nonetheless. And so how cool is that? That we had a full moon, right?
Mind blown.
Right? With the werewolves and everything going on. So yeah, we definitely were encouraging people to watch our film for that very reason. Isn't it cool to watch like a film during Halloween, full moon out, and it's a werewolf film? So how about that?
Yeah, I mean,
cool.
So there you go. It wasn't a mask. No, it was me. You know, it was a real thing. There was a full moon, so it happens.
Yeah.
I can't control it. So, yeah. Hey, man. It's been great. It's been great talking to you. And this is your home, man. Whenever you want to come back, whenever you want to plug anything, you know, want to talk about any kind of situation, just let us know. All right, we can definitely, because there are plenty of things going on in the States, going on here, going on globally that we can definitely talk about. So hey, as I said, whenever you want to come back, this is your home. Okay.
I appreciate it. I would love to come back and give you updates on some stuff coming through next year.
Please do.
I love the whole premise. Like I said, I love that we were able to talk about some deeper things. We went to the heart of some of the matters. So that was really cool. I really appreciate the conversations.
Yes, sir. All right. So where can people find you in the social media?
Well, speaking of great opportunities, it's going to be Friday 13th. This coming Friday. What? So what a great opportunity to watch a cool werewolf film. But yeah, you can
definitely,
you can look us up, beastwithinmovie.com, and all our social media is connected there. We have Beast Within Movie on Instagram, Beast Within Movie on Facebook, and we have Beast Within Move on Twitter. And I'm Stephen Morana. You can catch me on Instagram, Stephen Morana on Instagram, Twitter, and I'm Real Stephen Morana on Facebook. And we're going to constantly be updating all our social media feeds, getting the information out to the people where right now it's in North America, Canada, but it will definitely travel and expand to other parts of the world. So we should have some updates very shortly, and definitely some updates about new projects coming in the new year. So we're excited, and we just got to stay positive and take care of each other and stay safe out there.
Anyway, guys, hey, so you can go ahead and go. Please follow Stephen Morana, Instagram, Facebook. Please support the movie. It's a great movie. Go watch it. I think here in San Juan, we can actually see it. It's available.
Yeah.
On demand.
On all the demand channels, like on cable retailers. So DirecTV, if you have Dish or any of those, any of the major cable providers, and then also all the digital ones too. So your iTunes, Google Play, Vudu, Amazon, it's on all of them. So you can check it out on our website. We have like an area where you can buy or rent, and you can see wherever the listings are good for you.
There you have it. All right. Us here in Demente en Mente, you can find us on Facebook by Demente en Mente PR. On Instagram, like Demente en Mente PR as well. And on Twitter, you can find us Demente en Mentes with an S at the end. And that's about it. Hey, guys. You guys take care. Thank you for being with us here today. And hey, my English He's not that good looking. All right. You guys take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, this is Steve Miranda, the actor from Beast Within. This is another episode of Demente en Mente. Come check us out. Au!
Un invitado bastante... Thank you.